Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, where you learn what you need to know about how the world wants to work. And now your host, coworking space owner and trend expert, Jamie Russo.
Welcome to the Everything Coworking Podcast, episode number 23. Today, I talk with Evan Oder, founder of FindWorkspaces.com. I met Evan at the annual Global Workspace Association conference last month in Denver. His company was an exhibitor, and they were catching the attention of those of us that wake up at night in a cold sweat, worrying about our organic search rankings in Google. And if you are not in that camp, you should be. On the surface, findworkspaces.com is a directory of shared workspaces, but fundamentally, it's an SEO tool that Evan's team combines with SEO optimization services under a monthly subscription model. This episode is a long one. It's almost an hour. It's longer than most of my episodes, but I bet once you start listening, you won't be able to stop. Evan shares nugget after nugget of SEO golden tips. You will feel like you should be taking notes frantically, but don't worry. Go to www.everythingcoworking.com/23download to access a very nicely organized downloadable PDF of all of Evan's tips and recommended tools. All right, let's jump in. If you have any questions about SEO after listening to the show, please don't hesitate to contact Evan. His contact info will be in the show notes. And if you listen all the way to the end, he also shares his email address. Evan, thank you for joining me today. I'm so excited to have you on an episode of the Everything Coworking Podcast. We often talk about sort of big, sexy topics like, you know, sort of what's next in the future of work. But I'm really excited about this one because I think it's going to be really, really useful and practical. And we're going to share some really good tips that'll help people who are starting spaces of their own. So thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me, Jamie.
Yeah, it was so Evan and I met about a month ago at the Global Workspace Association annual conference in Denver. And that was your first foray into a co-working event, right?
Absolutely. It was awesome.
Good. Well, yeah, I'm glad you had a great experience. So, yeah, we were all really interested in what Evan and his partner had to offer up. And he has some clients already that we knew. So we were really interested in what he has going on. So I'm just going to jump in. Tell us what findworkspaces.com is, what it does, and what you do for shared spaces.
Sure. So, it was really actually born out of a necessity. So about a year ago, last September, I was looking to relocate one of my other ventures. And I wanted to go somewhere that had fast internet. I was tired of my internet crashing all the time. And I wanted to have nice amenities. And, you know, basically, I was looking for what the co-working and workspace revolution is presenting as an opportunity. And what I found really quickly was that it was really hard to actually find these places. You know, I knew they existed, but they were not really very visible. And, you know, it was just a difficult product to basically locate online. I have a background in online marketing. I've been doing search engine optimization for my whole career. And, you know, I kind of took the opportunity and said, you know what, there's no real feasible marketing directory or consumer portal for finding these co-working and shared workspaces in the U.S. And, you know, I felt like it was an opportunity to basically launch a hybrid program where we can, on one end, help consumers to find the nearby co-working and workspaces in their local market. And on the other end, offer it as a program that can help to enhance, the business marketing for the workspaces to generate leads, phone calls, impressions, and, you know, just more exposure locally.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about your background. How did you get to where you are today?
I started doing, when I was about 12, I built my first website. I had a GeoCities page and my brother was always a big computer head. So, we were one of the first kids on the block to have internet when it came out. My brother built computers for our family. And so we've always been ingrained in technology. And, when I was going through school, marketing was the degree path that I chose. And I very quickly landed in to some online marketing agencies even before I graduated. I was interning, I was doing blogging, and I basically evolved into a consultant, for some pretty large brands, doing e-commerce consulting, everything from search optimization to conversion rate optimization, pay-per-click, shopping feeds. And basically, you know, the advantage of doing that was I got to speak with hundreds and, you know, at this point I've spoken with thousands of different business owners. And you learn very quickly what works, what doesn't work. And so I kind of cut my teeth at an agency for a little bit, and then I ventured out on my own. And really, I felt like there was a big focus on local marketing. You know, back in the, 2008, 2009 timeframe is when mobile and, you know, things really started to take off with the launch of the iPhone. And I really felt convinced that local online marketing was a big area of growth. And so I've contributed a lot of my time and my energy into doing that. And I've been in mobile marketing and loyalty and text message marketing. I've done, SEO for, basically the entire period of my career, and really focusing on how do you implement, time tested and, long-term practices that you would traditionally do for online marketing to the local level, because local really is a still relatively new avenue of online marketing and the internet in itself. Most people used to think that the internet would replace local, that it would put everybody out of business. But the reality is that it actually augments it. Everybody Googles where they're going for directions, for reviews. It's actually has enhanced the local experience. So it's a really interesting turn.
That's a great point. Interesting and great if you're on top of how to leverage it. And if you're not, then you can be in trouble because your competitors can sort of out SEO knowledge you, I think. So we'll get into some tips in a second. So tell us, just on a more personal note, if we were to find you at your co-working space and chat you up at the coffee bar, what's something that we would not find out about you in our brief conversation?
That's a tough one. Mm-hmm. I'm a pretty open person, so there's not a lot that I wouldn't share. I would say that, probably the one thing that I talk about with people that they find most intriguing, I'm probably not really answering the question the right way, but I have a drone. And so I've done a lot of aerial photography, and it's something that I've done as a hobby and a little bit professionally. And that usually is something that people are always most intrigued to talk about and discuss, is the whole drone thing.
Yes. And you know what? I think maybe it was over a beer, but at the conference, I did learn that about you. And I think you showed me a couple of pictures that were amazing. And that's fascinating. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So I also skateboard. I like to longboard. I go to like the local parking garages, and a little bit of a rebel when I do that. And, I skate around and I pretend like there's hills in Florida. So that's something else that, maybe you wouldn't find out in a few minute conversation with me, but I like to skateboard as well.
Okay. So let's jump in. So SEO is such an important topic. This is one of the things that I lose sleep over, because it's so important. When you have a local business and somebody is searching, if they don't find you in Google search results, it's like you don't exist, right? Mm-hmm. Like you can, hope for word of mouth or other marketing tactics, but if you're not showing up on page results, then you're in trouble. And a lot of small businesses, I think, either don't quite realize that, or somehow it just keeps getting moved to the bottom of the list of things they're worried about, and the more seemingly urgent things kind of pop up. So I want to talk about, why it's so important, and kind of just let you, based on your experience working with so many small businesses, talk about, the most important things people can be thinking about related to SEO.
Sure. Well, there's really kind of six things that I'm going to kind of highlight here, and, it covers the gambit. But really the truth is, at the end of the day, that most businesses, when they're doing their online marketing, and really in particular their SEO, they really fail at the most fundamental level, because there's so many different things that factor in. And, it takes a lot of trial and error. It takes a lot of, in anything in life and success, it takes a lot of failure to, figure out, what is the right strategy and what is the wrong strategy. And so, I've been really lucky to have a lot of experience, and like I mentioned in my, throughout my whole career, I've really just been able to see a lot, see what works, what doesn't work. And, at the end of the day, I think that most businesses, especially in their online marketing, miss on the fundamentals, from just really trying to, from an aspect of what are people looking for, and how are you trying to present your brand? And I think a lot of times people get overcomplicated, where they try to put together their website the way they want to see it, but they fail to realize that it's about the customer. And so there's this bridge that you have to figure out to cross of how do you build your website with search engine optimization in mind, but also with user experience involved with that. So how do you combine those two experiences? And that's not easy to figure out, but really when it comes to the structure of your website, you know, the things that people really get wrong most of the times are how they structure the basics. Like I mentioned, meta titles, you know, that's how, you know, when you go into a Google search and you search for coworking spaces, Boston or whatever, that little blue link that shows up, that's one of the first things that Google reads on your site is your meta title. Do you have the keywords that you're targeting in it? And do you have your location? So again, we're trying to target people locally. You know, you need to have your location and your keywords throughout your meta titles, throughout your URLs. So if you have a location page on your website, it should be website.com/coworkingspace Boston. You know, limiting it to your own branding, or even just, let's say, /location1 as a page structure, there's a big difference in that. Just adding keywords, URLs, and making them clean. Like, for example, you want to eliminate how many directories Google has to crawl in your URL. So if you look at your pages and it's your .com/locations/location1, you want to eliminate that first piece, that locations. You want to make them clean and crisp. They should literally just be your .com, then your keyword, and then your location. So coworking space is Boston, Massachusetts. And that's how you structure the content on your page as well. So if you look at even some of our landing pages, they all have a heading title that includes a keyword and a location. So you want to structure your pages to have those things throughout each layer and phase that Google crawls. So it goes from meta title to URL to your page content, which is also translated into your meta description. So Google will actually use the content in your page to also present a snippet of content. So if you're trying to target a specific keyword or location, you need to have those things constant throughout those three layers. And when you often look at most websites, they may miss that in at least half of those positions. And so you have to follow through on how you structure just that basic orientation and dedicate pages to that. So if you have a business that offers more than just co-working, you also need to have a page that offers office suites or, you know, executive suites, virtual offices. And so you can also get more content out there. So you want to dedicate a specific page of content to your additional services. So same structure, it'd be your .com/virtualofficesBoston. And then obviously if you're in multiple cities, you change that and you orient that, you know, according to your geography. And so it's really important that you use the opportunity to create additional pages with your other services and to separate them, but then also interlink them. So how you structure your pages is important. How do you connect them together?
Not to interrupt, but I wanted to make the point that we're going through a website relaunch right now, and the average web developer probably is not going to offer you a lot of guidance on these things and may not be an expert in SEO, right? So they may be naming things in a way that kind of works for them or, you know, seems logical to them, but that may not be strategic in terms of SEO. And then even, you know, particularly in terms of the content on the page, subtitles and the keywords, you know, you have to give them the content. They have nothing to do with that. So you can't assume that your web developer, like when you create your website from scratch or relaunch one, that your web developer has this built-in SEO expertise, because they likely don't. Would you agree with that?
That's an amazing point to make. because that's how I've made a living, basically, is that the programmers, you know, we're all different, you know, and I think that in life, you know, a lot of people are really good at, you know, you can only really be good at so many things. You know, you can't be a jack of all trade, master of none. I think that, you know, you have to, if you're really good at something, you focus in on it, that's what you do. And so programmers, that's what happens, is they only look at it through programmers' eyes. And so, like you mentioned, they may create a URL that has all these, you know, what to us look like basically hieroglyphics in it, but it needs to say something clean, you know, it needs to say something that actually means something. And so it's very common that programmers don't consider or factor in SEO all the time. And they will program pages that work for them. They'll create scripts or, you know, it's a very funky situation, but definitely you have to be on the lookout for that.
Awesome. Thanks. Sorry to interrupt. You know, I want one.
That's a very good point.
One more quick thing before you keep going is you're going to mention, you've already started mentioning a lot of really great, helpful tips. And I know you said you have a couple of tools to share as well. So those will be in the show notes. And I'm also going to do a special PDF download for this episode. So that'll live at everythingcoworking.com/23download.
Awesome.
Okay. Back to it. Sorry.
Yeah. So, one of the other big things that I also see businesses missing is that, you know, a lot of people plug in Google Analytics to their site, but they forget about Google Webmaster Tools. And this may even be first on the list other than that, but again, it's really a fundamental, you know, analytics tool that you should be looking at if you're paying attention to your SEO. The difference is that Webmaster Tools really only factors in the way that your site is indexed and appears in Google organically. And so when you submit sitemaps, which is basically, you know, just a detailed list of pages to your, that are on your website to Google for them to index and for them to crawl, you know, it allows you to actually see how Google views your website, how it indexes it. And it also will tell you, despite popular belief, it will show you keywords that you currently get traffic for and where you show up in those search results. So there's a lot of really valuable data that most businesses don't even plug into with their webmaster tools. And so that's one of the ways that you can measure your performance in SEO. Other than keyword reports, which, you know, we use and I like looking at, but, you know, where the rubber really meets the road is actually in the webmaster tools. Where is your site getting organic traffic from? And, you know, how much and what are those keywords and what are the pages that are getting that traffic? I think that most businesses forget to connect that. And it's really vital when you're running an SEO strategy to see how your site is performing over time in the organic portion of Google, not just overall web traffic, direct hits, paid traffic. You know, Google Analytics is a summation of all of those things. So you have to look at Webmaster Tools separately to really analyze your SEO.
I'm taking notes. I'm sure I've never looked at Google Webmaster Tools before.
Yeah.
Missing out a fundamental, as you would say.
Yeah. So, and even in there too, which is one of my other notes, there's even a ways that you can test Google to say, hey, test my site for mobile responsiveness. How quickly does my page load? And Google will basically use their tools and they'll ping your website as if it was a smartphone search and they'll give you a score. They'll tell you, does your page have mobile issues? You know, phones and mobile usage is the fastest growing part of internet traffic. And so, you know, if you're not paying attention to also how your site is functionality wise graded and used on mobile, not only just from your perspective as a user, but from the perspective of the search engine, you know, that's something that's also valuable. And Webmaster Tools has a bevy of different programs and tools inside of there that you can actually really, you know, get a total view of how your page would work for a search engine. And then you can couple that with your user experience. Sorry, I'm just going to grab a little water here for a second.
Yeah, no, go for it. While you're doing that, I'll mention it's one of the reasons we're relaunching our website is because ours was circa 2011, which is before mobile was quite so pervasive. And we realized we had a big problem on our hands. And so the whole mobile-geddon scare, I think people kind of stopped freaking out quite so much after that, after all the press that got, but it's a big deal. You can check in Google Analytics what percentage of traffic comes from mobile, and it's significant. And so if your site is not mobile responsive, but it didn't occur to me to check, not just from a user perspective, but from Google's perspective. So taking notes anyway, but I'm highlighting the things that we definitely need to do when we relaunch our site.
Yeah, and it's 100%, you know, it's really easy to verify it, and it's a really, really useful way to really just kind of separate out, you know, your organic versus everything else.
Awesome. What else you got for us?
So one of the other big things, and actually there's a huge change this week in this, so, and I don't think it changes the advice, but, you know, Google and Google Plus, there's something going on in the water. And Google My Business is a, you know, your the way that your local business is claimed and verified on Google Maps. So they've got all these different names for it, and now they're changing it again. So, you know, who knows? today they made a big just shake up in the Google Plus ecosystem. But your Google My Business profile, the way that you've verified and you've submitted your business information to Google, is a very, very valuable tool. Google looks at your Google My Business profile all the time. Even just any limited amount of activity, from posting updates to adding pictures to updating your profile picture, your cover photo, basically any activity inside of Google My Business is seen as a positive. And if you use your hashtags and if you use your web pages accurately, where you know, you're linking back to your location pages within your posts, you know, you can create a really valuable content syndication engine for your business. And so I really strongly advocate Google My Business activity, but just beware that there are a lot of changes going on from the perspective of the way that Google Plus is integrated into the Google experience. I know for a fact that at the end of the day, Google's not getting rid of the My Business program. There's no reason why they would take that off the map just because of the way that local is so pervasive. I think that that product is in for a major shakeup in the way that it's more catered to or oriented specifically for the business function of it. But for right now, it's still really heavily intertwined into Google Plus. So it's something that you definitely still need to keep on top of, though. You need to make sure that your business information is updated there. You need to stay active. Literally just posting or doing any activity is something that, you know, will be positive. And you also, on top of that, want to go out and make sure that your business is, you know, verified and accurate across all the top local directories, Yelp, Bing, Yahoo. You want to make sure that you try to submit to also data aggregators, which, you know, I'll go into a little bit more in a minute with some of my recommended tools and things like that. But you want to also make sure that your business information is submitted and is out there in, you know, a lot of those other major local directories. They don't account for that much traffic cumulatively in the end. Google actually still has a huge portion of that local traffic, which is why, again, I don't ever see them just getting rid of Google Maps or Google, you know, like Google My Business. I think it'll continue to evolve. But those other directories are used by Google in terms of just kind of verifying businesses. And I don't like the term backlink, because it has such a negative connotation, but you know, for some people, it's easy just to kind of, you know, use the analogy that local directories are like backlinks for local. So that's really what they are, but they're positive. You know, they're not going to hurt your business. And then on top of that, inside those directories, you need to get your reviews and your reputation going. You need to try to encourage reviews at all opportunities, whether it's when you first sign up a customer or incentivizing them in some way. You know, you can't like directly pay them for it. You want to try to get natural reviews. I really, really strongly advocate against like paying people for reviews and, you know, using any of those services. You know, customers can tell the difference, and, everything you, if you do it right and you do it organically, you know, it'll have a very long-term impact on your business. It's one of the things I love about SEO is that when done right and done, you know, over time consistently, it has probably one of the highest lifetime values of any marketing spend that you can invest in. So I really, really strongly believe that the reviews is the kind of what really seals the deal. I think that if you're showing up next to a competitor and they have more reviews than you and a higher rating, the business is going to go to them. Unfortunately, it's become a dog eat dog category in that sense with online marketing. But that's where you have to take the advantage and go out and seek those reviews and, you know, to really try to get your top customers to help you. And based on what I've experienced so far in the coworking industry, everybody's got a really great relationship with everybody else. There's no reason why, you know, a couple of your customers couldn't go out and just, you know, give you guys a good review. And then maybe you in turn also, you know, will review their business if you've used their services and so on and so forth. So it's really easy to get reviews. It's just one of those things that you just have to ask, and you have to ask consistently, and you have to not be afraid to, you know, ask 100 customers for a review and only 4 or 5 say yes, because those 4 or 5 will actually have a lot of value. So it's worth pursuing.
Quick follow-up question on that. How do we think about our review acquisition strategy between Google and Yelp?
You know, it's kind of like you have to pick your poison, but it's really up to the consumer at the end of the day, right? So I believe in giving them the option. If they're Yelper, let them Yelp. If they're Google, let them Google. The problem is, and I don't want to dog on it too much, is that, you know, Yelp isn't a very democratic product. So, you know, if you get a lot of positive reviews and, you know, Yelp's quote unquote algorithm could still not show that review for you. So there's a chance that your Yelp review doesn't ever actually do anything or gets viewed because it gets caught by their review filter. And that's a whole other conversation. But, you know, that's kind of, you just kind of have to let the consumer choose there. I would say that regionally speaking, like on the West Coast, like San Francisco, LA, you know, really the whole West Coast, Yelp is obviously huge. And so regionally, I've experienced that, you know, that coast definitely has a much stronger Yelp influence above, you know, almost even it's right there with Google in some circumstances. So it's definitely something that you have to also just pay attention to based on your local market. Cause like, you know, on the East Coast in certain cities, like Yelp really isn't even relevant at all. So, but Google is, and Google is relevant overall anyway, but in certain markets, it's definitely, there is a little bit of a Yelpy kind of community. So,
yeah, no, this is helpful because I'm on the West Coast now, and although it's interesting that you mentioned that because I'm always looking at Yelp in Palo Alto versus Chicago, and it's we a lot more active in Palo Alto than it is Chicago. But we tend to focus our review requests on Yelp versus Google. So it's, we got to think about balancing that out. So, and I think your point is great about you could ask 100 people and you may only get a few, but you just get it. You could keep, you know, be consistent and persistent, and over time they'll build up and make a big difference.
Yeah. And, you know, and with Google, the thing is with the reviews, they will always show up. So,
yeah, you know, I didn't realize. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So that's why it's a good fail safe is like, because if they're not on Yelp and they go to Google, the Google one will always show up, positive or negative. So, and I don't know if you've had an experience with Yelp or not, you know, but there's plenty of stories out there.
Yeah, no, we struggle. And actually, we do realize that Yelp will only show a review if someone, it's like a chicken or egg thing. They only like to show reviews of people who are active on Yelp. So, but, you know, they need to get active in some other way.
I have plenty of screenshots to prove that otherwise. But, you know, like I said, that's like a whole nother topic. But I'll say at best, it's a very arbitrary practice. So, it's really difficult to figure out.
Yep. Well, good. I appreciate this because I just made some notes to get my managers to start refocusing on the Google reviews.
Yeah. The other positive I will point out about Yelp, which again is why you definitely have to go for both, but Yelp will also syndicate though to Bing and to Yahoo and to some other places. So that is another benefit, is that if you do get, you know, people who are active on Yelp to review and, you know, you get them posted, they will actually go across the web to the other directories. So if you go and you look at your Bing profile or, you know, any of your other ones out there, I would definitely, you know, just also pay attention to that your Yelps do get syndicated. So, you know, that is a benefit of their program versus Google as well.
Okay, got it. Okay, I'll stop interrupting you, but very helpful so far.
I also want to mention too that I forgot that, don't forget about Apple Maps as well. People forget that Apple Maps is default on all the iPhones, all the brand new ones, and people are still using it. and so you actually can now, it's actually a pretty fairly new thing in the last, I think, within like the last 6 or 9 months, that Apple opened up the map submissions to business owners. So it's called Apple Maps Connect. And I can definitely, you know, in the notes I'll send you, I'll have the link for that as well. I think a lot of businesses forget about that.
Or didn't even know. I didn't know. I think this is the challenge with SEO is, and why you can't just rely on a web developer or even yourself, is there's a lot to keep up with.
Yeah, that's why it's like I have a long list here. It's like it's so hard to say one thing. So
yep.
It's definitely, it's a lot of pieces to the puzzle. But, you know, it's all about how you set it up, right? So that's a part of it, is just how you kind of structure it. And really, SEO is all about, at the end of the day, it's about organization. It's how you organize yourself. It's how you organize your business. It's how you organize your website. That's really all SEO is about, in my opinion. It's a folder and files and, you know, file cabinet, and how do you put it together? Google's mission is to literally organize the world's information and make it more universally accessible and useful. So really what you have to do from an SEO perspective is organize your information in a way that's more useful. And that's, you know, and that's what we do at findworkspaces.com. And that's really, you know, what I preach to do as well is in reality on your website with the way you structure your pages is how do you set up, you know, how do you set up the basics and how do you organize your content? And so it's hard to do that, but if you can figure it out, it definitely works. And, you know, that leads me to another point is about, you know, how multiple location groups have a little bit different challenge than single operators. So single locations get the luxury of just kind of focusing in on one. They have the ability to really just kind of, you know, hone in and that's it. They put all their energy and effort behind that. So a multi-location group, though, then has a struggle of not just one location, how do I do five or how do I do 10 or, you know, how do I do 100? And for some people, you know, how do I do 1,000? And so the number one mistake that I see companies who have multiple locations do, and it's as they grow, it's just something that maybe they didn't have the right advice or it just made sense at the time is the easiest thing to do is they register different domains or websites for each location. It's one of the biggest mistakes you can make as a multi-location operator because when you're able to connect all of your locations together on one website and cross-optimize them, so where you have individual location pages for each office, and then you have each office has their own services pages as well. So they have their own presence that's continually branded throughout your whole website. There's a lot more equity in that from a management standpoint where you don't have to optimize 50 different websites or 5 different websites. It's one website, but you're optimizing different pages on that website. It makes it a lot more attainable and it has a lot of value as well from a Google indexing standpoint that they will realize that, wow, they have 50 locations or they have multiple, or if you're a regional group, they'll be like, wow, they have 5 locations in Miami. You know, that seems like that's probably the biggest group. And so building your equity from your multiple locations is one of the best things you can do. And a lot of times I see that a lot of, you know, companies who are growing and not sure how to market different areas, they kind of get caught up in that where they have multiple websites. And I really believe that, you know, you need to centralize that under one domain and it makes it a lot less complicated for you. And it allows you to also maintain your branding, you know, in certain franchise scenarios. Sometimes the franchisee has the ability to make their own website and, you know, you lose your branding and you lose your control. So it just helps you to really keep that and to scale. So that's something I really advocate for, you know, organizations that are looking to have more than one location to also look at how you're building your website, even if you only have one right now, and making sure that it's adaptable to adding other pages and service pages for the additional locations that you'll add in the future. And this way, you can also launch a location, quote unquote, website very quickly. It's just creating a page on your website as opposed to a whole new one. So it's a big thing that I really, really strongly advise against. And just I think it makes it easier and it's a lot more cost effective in the long run to do it under one roof.
Yep. And I think it's smart to plan that in advance, even if you think you're only going to be one location, that can change. And co-working, you know, especially as an industry, is growing quickly and a lot of people are finding opportunities to expand. So thinking about that in the beginning and making sure it's adaptable is great advice.
Yep, absolutely. So I also already touched on mobile responsiveness, but I'll just reiterate it that it's very important. you know, and that's something that it's really an art. And, you know, even like 3 or 4 years ago, we were still building mobile websites separate from your regular one. Now responsive is the thing. And I don't think responsive is going anywhere. You know, that's definitely what's going on. There always will be different features and functions. But, you know, you got to remember that the basic things that, you know, people are looking for when they go to your website are, you know, your hours, your address, your phone number. They want to know your prices and they want to know how to, you know, they basically want to know how to contact you. So, you know, don't also forget that when someone's on their phone, their intent is probably different than when they are on their desktop. It's possible. So, you know, if they're on their phone, you may want to present information in a little bit differently. And I would definitely prioritize your basic information, your name, address, phone number, hours, you know, basically the way to contact you and any other pertinent information. Should be the first thing that you try to display to people on a mobile device.
Yeah, another great tip in terms of thinking about it from the user perspective. I've definitely been on those mobile sites where I'm like, I just want your address. Why can't I find it?
So, you know, make it easy for people to find what they want. Again, think about, you know, think about it from a user perspective, think about it from a search engine perspective, you know, and that, again, locally speaking, you know, your address on your website being indexed and available is important. So, you know, you want to have your address in the footer of your website, ideally, as well. But, you know, in those instances, you know, where it's a location page or something like that, your location page on a mobile device should probably start with the phone number, the address, the email, you know, a way to reach them, you know, pictures, information about that location, you know, and really just make it easy. And, you know, my last big note is, and it's kind of, again, it's around, you know, the idea of SEO is, you know, kind of dedicating pages to certain topics and, you know, which are keywords. And so I also suggest that if you're doing pay-per-click and SEO, you should really be using different pages for your pay-per-click than your SEO. You should create separate landing pages that are dedicated to your pay-per-click campaign that are pages that are not indexed or crawled by Google. So they also don't interfere with your SEO. This is for tracking purposes. This is also just for, you know, anytime you have to make a small tweak or update, or you're just trying to modify the way that, you know, you present your content to users. You should definitely dedicate pages to pay-per-click versus SEO. Because I also believe that, again, same way on mobile, you want to present information the right way in the right order. On pay-per-click, people are looking for the same thing almost essentially, but you have to lay out those pages appropriately. And so I'm a very big proponent in, you know, separating out your pay-per-click pages from what you're trying to get ranked organically, and making sure that those PPC pages are also not indexed by Google. And you know, those are pages that are just strictly dedicated to that. So you know that also any activity that's coming from that page, from a contact form, maybe a call tracking number, or whatever other unique identifying or tracking elements you can install on it, you know, you'll also be able to more easily measure your pay-per-click ROI versus your SEO and kind of separate those funnels, along with, again, you know, looking at your webmaster data and, you know, comparing that to your AdWords and analytics and, you know, kind of rounding those things all up.
How do you create a page that's not indexed by Google?
There's a tag that you can add to your pages. It's something that, you know, any programmer should be able to add. And basically it's called a no index, no follow.
Okay.
Basically just when Google spider or robot comes to your page and is starting to crawl it, if it reads that tag, it doesn't look at it. It just ignores it.
As you're saying, we have a couple of landing pages that we're testing, and I had said to my manager, I'm like, well, look them up in Google Analytics and see. But if you do it right, they wouldn't show up. So you're saying they wouldn't show up in Google Analytics.
They would show up in Analytics, but they just wouldn't be indexed within like Webmaster Tools or in Google's, you know, those pages wouldn't show up then in a search result.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So you're saying,
Webmaster Tools, you can also manually remove a URL. So let's say there's a page that you had in the past and, you know, you don't want to use it anymore. It's dead. Within Webmaster Tools, you can actually remove URLs on your domain once you've verified your site manually. So, you know, you can also then just pull those pages out of the index manually through Webmaster Tools if you wanted to.
Another good tip. I love it. Okay. So that's the end of your...
That's, you know, those are like my... Those are like my top things. You know, I could definitely talk for forever about it.
But yeah, yes.
Those great. Are most of it. And, you know, again, I always like to just reiterate, it's really, at the end of the day, it's the fundamentals. It comes in how you organize the pages and how clean you make your URLs is really important. And, you know, also just, you know, using keywords inside those areas, the meta titles, your URLs, your page content, you know, tactfully, you know, don't, you know, keyword stuffing, you got to write it for people and for search engines. It's a fine line to walk. But you know, you have to understand that those are the two people that you're trying to appease with your website. So you know, always keep them in mind and, you know, and just always try to look at it from a simplistic viewpoint of how do you make your pages as simple to understand as possible. And that'll take you a long way, I think.
Yeah. I think this content is so important. I think I kind of wonder if sometimes this is challenging work for small business owners because we tend to be very passionate about what we do. You know, co-working space owners, we're passionate about our members and, you know, maybe more about programming for our members and spending time with them. And this work is like just really disciplined, you know, stick to it, tactical stuff that you just need to stay on top of. So I think it's probably hard for people to really focus on this and set aside time to be really dedicated to it, but it's so important.
Yeah, it's definitely, and it's always a moving target. Like I said, today, Google came out with the change and, you know, we don't know what it means, but it's a little, there's always something just to keep up with. So
kind of related to that, so if I have not been spending a lot of time focusing on SEO and I listen to this podcast and think I need to get on that, how do I start in terms of determining how my site is performing in terms of SEO?
Yeah. So, you know, I think that again, you know, connecting your site to some of the webmaster tools will help you to at least maybe get a feel for how it looks. But other than that, I just do, you know, kind of the poor man's analysis. You know, what are you trying to be found for and where are you located? And I would go out on Google and I would search that. I go on Bing, I'd search it. I'd even go into Yahoo, I'd search it and see where you are. You know, that's really, I believe the litmus test is, you know, again, go from the consumer viewpoint of what are people looking for? Or what do you at least think people are looking for? And where do you show up? So, you know, you can always do that analysis. But then from there, you know, how do you strategize with that? You know, you got to find somebody that you trust and somebody that, you know, knows what they're talking about and can take the and you know, knows the whole chain of events, right? You know, like you mentioned before, programmers aren't inherently going to be looking after the SEO for your website. I see it all the time. So, you know, you have to know that and you have to prepare for that process. You have to know that there is going to be a lot of work involved in it and you just have to be, you know, willing to accept those challenges. But they're worth working through and you know, you do have to, you know, just make sure that you're mindful of what it's going to take. But definitely, you know, finding somebody reputable. There's also other tools out there like Moz Local, I think is a great tool. So if you want to look at how your listings are represented online, I really like theirs. It's just MOZ and local. So Moz is a pretty well-known, you know, search engine optimization kind of thought leader and software developer. You know, they've got a really unique set of products. And so you can definitely always go do like a free scan of your business on Moz Local to see how your name, address, and phone number are represented on the web. And then they have a very affordable service that's like $89 a year for a single location to get your information pushed out to all the top aggregators, which will reach, you know, for the most part, you know, the major directories on the internet. So we talked about, you know, getting listed earlier on all these top websites, and Moz Local is a really useful tool that you can analyze your business and then also submit your information. So, and also looking at, you know, again, your analytics is a big one. One of my other favorite tools is called localseochecklist.org. And they also have a service where you can actually scan your listings and stuff too. But again, it's localseochecklist.org. And it's basically what I described earlier is kind of all the different check marks, things that you've got to do to make sure that you're basically covering all your bases. And so I would definitely advocate that people check that out. And, you know, if they have people that are managing their website, go to your programmer and say, hey, you know, are we doing all these things? And, you know, really just double check. That list has a lot of things in it that I've discussed on today's call. And you'll see once you look at it, you're going to be like, oh, my God, there's like so many things. But it is a checklist. You know, there is a formula. You know, nothing's a secret. It's a lot of different things. But there is a very defined kind of path to how do you do this the right way.
There's another tool that I've used called UpCity. Have you heard of that one?
I have not.
It sounds like it's pretty similar maybe to Moz Local and combine the local SEO checklist. It tries to sort of dummy proof the process and it gamifies it, like gives you points for submitting to directories and writing blog posts and things like that. And I found that to be really useful in terms of if you're a small business on a budget and you really want to try to attack some of these things in-house, you know, to get a list of just really tactical stuff you can plow through on your own. I think it's still challenging, you know, to do it on your own without having someone to check in with and make sure you understand everything that they're asking you to do. There are definitely a few things on the list where we're like, what, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, that's definitely the, you know, that's definitely the hard part is, you know, all these things can tell you what's wrong, but then it's still, there's still a point where it's, you have to be able to get your, to get a programmer who can execute it, who can do it the right way, who can take feedback and who can take direction. You know, one of the big things I do for a lot of people all the time is I'm doing detailed write-ups. You know, here's what you need to change on your website. It's, you know, sometimes they're 2 pages in a Word doc. Sometimes they're like 10 pages. And it's like every one of your pages needs to be fixed. So, you know, I definitely say that that's kind of it's, you know, you can get all those analytics and stuff, but it is kind of how do you actually take action on those things? And that's probably the hardest part.
Yeah. Okay. So you've given tons of tips. So I just want to give you a chance to share. So, you know, I met you at GWA, you have some current co-working clients. What are your services? How do you help space owners with SEO?
Yeah, so like you mentioned before, kind of think simplifying things is really the name of the game. And as I mentioned when I first introduced myself, that you know this we've kind of built the directory out of a need that we saw from a consumer standpoint. But then I've also kind of cross blended it with you know an SEO component and you know a marketing service. So the idea is that we want to get as many directories listed or as many co-working and shared office workspaces in the U.S. listed on the site in the next year. So we're basically going city to city, doing our research and finding hotspots and trying to get advertisers who are interested in generating more exposure for their business, both through our directory and organically for their business. And the way that that works is we basically build what I call an aggregate or a wiki profile for your business on findworkspaces.com. So we basically go out there and we put together a profile that has all of your social media connected, your website, your phone number, your pictures. We also have, you know, contact forms that go directly to your manager. So if someone contacts you on our site, you get the lead exclusively to you. We also do pull in your third-party reviews and other company links and, you know, even third-party references like press releases or, you know, local newspapers that write you up and put you on the internet. And so we basically collect all the information that we can feasibly find about your business that's reputable. And we put into one place. And what that allows us to do is to syndicate your content organically and through paid advertising. So our monthly advertisers who we work with, that's what we're actively doing is we're constantly submitting their information to Google. So like I mentioned, Google's mission is to organize the world's information. And so what our directory is essentially doing is organizing your location's information. And then, you know, when we get our pages indexed, all your content comes along with it. And that's kind of how our formula works. And so your website ranking will actually improve from that. And then we actively will take a piece of that monthly advertising fee and put it back into paid ads. So we'll syndicate your Find Workspaces profile in Google keywords on LinkedIn ads that, you know, on LinkedIn, the cool part is you can target it to the demographic. So certain job titles, specific locations, specific age groups, you know, seniority, there's all different ways that you can target people on LinkedIn. And it's just really an easy way to kind of get your content syndicated. So, you know, if somebody finds your Find Workspaces profile and they're in San Francisco, well, your Yelp link is going to be on our profile and they can go to your Yelp page there. And so we're a non-transactional model because we believe that the customer experience is much larger than just finding them on our directory. It's really they go in, they tour the space, they meet you, they want to know your staff. Anybody who's serious about getting office space for a long period of time isn't going to just make that transaction on a website. And so, you know, we're not trying to force people to, you know, make a deal with us or through us and we take a commission. You know, we believe in that. The fact that if we can just get you more exposure, you know, and as a supplement to what you currently have in your other marketing efforts, you know, then that can pay a large dividend. And, you know, and let's say we do get you somebody who books a space with us. Well, that's great. You know, you're not giving us a piece of your business. So, you know, I think that in certain aspects of co-working, it could be a loss leader. So, you know, you're not giving away a piece of a membership that you're already not making money on, or you know, maybe something that you're trying to just, you know, acquire customers with. So we have a very easy way to get ROI as a fixed fee model, as opposed to just, you know, basically trying to compete with you and beat you to your customers. So we take a much more holistic and broad approach in, you know, how we're trying to pull people in and experience your business.
Great. Where can we find you online?
You can go to findworkspaces.com and contact us, or you can email me at evan@findworkspaces.com. And then, yeah, it's pretty simple. You can also just Google Evan Oder. And my website will show up, but I'm also relaunching my own website. So there's only like a splash page up right now. I got a lot of things going on, but it's in the works. But yeah, you could just Google me as well and you'll find me.
Good. Yeah. And we'll include all of the notes that Evan shared with us today in the show notes. And then, like I said, a special download since we had so many good nuggets shared today, which will be at everythingcoworking.com/23download. Evan, thank you. We are almost at an hour here, which is a long one, but I didn't want to stop you from sharing so much great information. So thank you for all of your time and for sharing your expertise and inspiring us to go put some focus on our SEO. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my only closing thought is that, you know, some effort is better than no effort. So even if you can't tackle it all, do some of it. You know, at least make an effort and get a piece of it done. You know, do it in chunks and, you know, it'll build up to something. So, you know, that's my only last thing. Don't let it overwhelm you. You know, tackle what you can and then, you know, come back later to the things that you don't know how to do. And, you know, just take it day by day.
That's great advice for everything in life, I think.
Yeah, probably.
Especially SEO today. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Everything Coworking. Be sure to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on the latest trends and how-tos. Until next time.